right, so push. P U S T. Who here knows what that stands for? That's an acronym for what? Anybody? Push. What did you say? Oh, man, Crystal. You ruined my whole thing. Oh, I know what. Push stands for pray until something happens. And we're going to look at a parable today in the Bible that is fantastic, that relates to this push idea. And I want to remind you before we turn to that parable in the book of Luke, that the disciples never said, Jesus, teach us how to work miracles. They never said, Jesus, teach us how to teach the way you do. But the one thing they asked Jesus, you remember what that was? Teach us how to pray. And so the title of the sermon today is Hear What the Unjust Judge Says. Luke 18, 1 through 8. Let us pray. Oh, Father in heaven, how thankful we are for the privilege to have a God like you deserves more than you ask us. And Lord, sometimes in this life it's difficult to live up to your standard, but at paradise here, we're all striving to do that. And so pour out your spirit now, Lord. Illuminate this beautiful parable that we see the intimate care that you have for us and also what you desire of us. Use me in spite of me, Lord. Oh, please let us see and hear Jesus. And so guide and direct now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Luke 18, 1 through 8. Children, get your Bibles out. Open them up to Luke. The parable is very important. I want you all to follow along as we read this. I got to turn to it myself. Luke 18. And we're going to start with verse 1. All right, children, you got it? Children, did you turn? No children turned to it. Okay, if you don't have a Bible and you need a Bible, see me afterward. I'll give you a brand new Bible. Hear what the unjust judge says. Then he spake a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was a certain city and a judge who did not fear God nor regard or care about man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow bugs me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she wears me out. And then the Lord said something incredible. Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out day and night for him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Wow, what a parable. I want you to notice that Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees and his disciples about last day events. And I quoted it here from the Amplified Bible, it said, now Jesus was telling the disciples a parable. Now I define parable for you. Fictitious narrative of common life occurrences that teach a moral. To make the point that at all times, how many times? They ought to pray. They ought to do what? And not give up and lose heart. That was the point of the parable that Jesus was teaching shortly after he was going through events that will take place in the last days of Earth's history. So let's look at the characters here. The unjust judge, he did not fear God nor regard men. I look up regard. He had no respect for anybody but himself. He had no regard for right nor pity for suffering. And repeatedly refused the widow who came for justice. He gratified himself to let her ask, plead, and entreat in vain. And finally, to save his reputation and avoid giving further publicity to his partiality, he granted her request. Hey, I know this is a familiar parable. You all know this. But did you ever catch that last point, number five? He finally gave in. And I know the Bible said, because she wears me out. But the rest of the truth is, it was becoming evident that this guy was corrupt and he had to get her out. And then we got the widow. And the widow was alone, poor, friendless. She had no means of retrieving her ruined fortune because her husband died and she had no family. She sought the only avenue of help, and that was the judge in the city. And she was persistently repulsed and treated with contempt. But she persistently pursued her only help and hope. She did not become discouraged or quit. Wow, what faith this woman had. But folks, I want to share this with you. She was also desperate. Did you hear that? She was desperate. You know, in this virus thing. I mean, Matthew 24 for centuries have had, there'll be wars and rumors of war and pestilence. But never did it come to the shores of the United States, really. But this one is worldwide. And people are concerned. Some of them are becoming desperate. And so we continue here as we look at this. For we see that woman persisted. Look at this. She persisted. You know, the language here in the Greek implies she didn't just show up at court. When she saw him at the market, when she saw him walking, wherever he was, she went, hey, judge, remember me? I'm the one that came and asked for relief from my adversary and you wouldn't give it to me? Get away from me, lady, get away from me. And the next day was at court. You know, when I first joined this church, I was so deficient in Bible knowledge that I used any method I could to catch up to some of you. And I found the Story Hour tapes. And I'll bet some of you don't even know what Story Hour tapes. Seventh-day Adventist stories. And one of them was this parable. And I'll never forget, they would play act in the tape to illustrate what the Bible was teaching. And I remember in one case, all of a sudden, hi, judge, it's me again. What are you doing in my court? I told you to leave. Oh, Judge, I just had to come by and say hi. Oh, man, this woman was persistent. She would not give up, and she was desperate. Until finally, the unjust judge relented. And he decided it was in his best interest to give her relief from the adversary. And so we look at Luke 18, verse 4. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor care a bit about man, suffering, I don't care. Yet because this woman troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she wearies me. Very selfish. But he made the right decision. And so look what Jesus said. Now, I don't know how many times you read this, and I don't know if you were like me, and all of a sudden you caught, this is a strange thing for Jesus to say. Did you get that? Why in the world would we want to listen what the unjust judge had to say? In fact, if you remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus was on the mountain with Peter, James, and John, and they were watching him talk to Moses and Elijah, all of a sudden God spoke from heaven the second time in Scripture, New Testament, and he said, this is my beloved Son. Yeah, who said that? It said, hear him. He didn't say, it's my beloved Son whom I am well pleased. That's what he said when he was baptized. He said, this is my beloved Son. Listen to him. And now all of a sudden, Jesus is saying, hear what the unjust judge says. And so we discover the unjust judge. We now have a great contrast between the unjust judge and who our God really is. He isn't like the unjust judge. And so Jesus boldly then declares, and shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out to him how often? Day and night. See, there's that element of desperation again. Though he bear long with them, and you know what that means, I'm sure you know what that means. It means though Jesus has to put up with our foolishness. Remember, O foolish and faithless generation, how long do I have to put up with you, Jesus said. By the way, not anger. It was a stated fact so that we would wake up. If we cry out to God from a sincere heart, no matter how bad we may be, he hears us. And I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. One of the hardest things in my ministry to deal with is these open sinners that got in trouble and they prayed to God. And I thought, Lord, here's your chance. Come on, Lord. And what did he do? He answered their prayer. God's no respecter of person. If somebody sincerely prays to him, he'll answer, even if they will turn around and take advantage of it. Will not God avenge his own elect that cry unto him day and night? My friends, I don't know what you're facing, what you're dealing with. Just the same with me. Our God is listening and he's answering. And it may not be the exact moment you want, and it may not even be exactly the way you want. But what he ends up doing is better than what we wanted him to do. This woman persisted. She didn't give up. She recognized her only source of help, and she went for it. So I want you really quick to turn to Zechariah, and I want you to hear this story as told by the prophet Zechariah in Zechariah the 3rd chapter. That's the second to the last book of the Old Testament. And by the way, I just preached on that recently. Perhaps in your memory there's some recollection, and you'll see clearly how this relates to this story. I know that Jesus told this parable thinking of Zechariah the 3rd chapter. So do you have Zechariah the 3rd chapter? Children, do you have it here? I want you to listen to this. Look what it says. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?" And now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the Lord. Who remembers? Joshua was standing there in filthy garments. And what else does that story that Zacharias tell us? What else about Joshua is very obvious? Okay, there's the Lord. There's Joshua in filthy garments. Joshua is a sinner, and he represented the sinful people of Israel. And he stood before the Lord, and at his right hand, the position of power, Satan was there going through the list. And you remember I had that paper? Joshua never said anything. He had nothing to say in defense of himself. And Satan is going on and on and on. And Joshua's like, "Oh, that's true, that's true, that's true." And suddenly, Jesus said, "Satan, the Lord rebuke you. This is one of my people." Amen. And so in my mind, Jesus was thinking of this story when he gave that parable. And so I want you to learn this lesson. We need to practice it more than we ever did before. Christ had been speaking of a period just before his second coming, and the perils through which the followers must pass, with special reference to the time he related the parable to, this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. Christ Object Lessons 164. Now, friends, I got to tell you this. Now's the time to be practicing crying out to God day and night. Not when it gets worse. We won't be ready for that. And so, you know, I got to tell you this. I wonder how many of you recall this, and I hope a number of you are practicing every Wednesday. We call it a day of fasting and prayer. And we meet at the church at 6 o'clock. We meet at the church at 12 o'clock. We meet at the church at 6:30 just for a prayer session. Anybody's welcome to come. And we ask people to pray, to fast. And by the way, fasting could be skipping a meal, one meal in a day. It could be eating only fruit and not other stuff. It could be, I'm not going to watch TV. It could be, I'm not going to go on the computer. But it's a fast. We're showing we're willing to sacrifice something. Now's the time to be practicing. We need to be praying together. And Jesus was speaking this parable about the last days. What days are we in right now? Last days. No time to fool around anymore. That's exactly what it says in Christ Object Lessons. Folks, we got to be praying. And so check this out. Number one, our Heavenly Father is not like the unjust peace, the unjust judge. No, right? Not at all. Number two, the widow represents a type of prayer life His people will need in the last days of Earth's history. And then number three, His own elect will cry out day and night to Him. And by the way, you see right what I put in the center of that picture? Children praying. Mm-hmm. They need to start now. We need to be teaching them. I got a question for you, parents. Has your child ever got up in the morning and found you on your knees or even in your Bible? How are they going to learn to pray and prepare for the last days if they don't see their parents, their grandparents, whatever? They get out of bed. Where's Dad? Well, he's in that room praying to God, or he's in the closet praying. Where's Mom? Well, before she made breakfast, she went and she's praying. Oh, I guess prayer is important. Yeah. We need to be praying. It connects us with God. Now, I want to relieve some of your fears. First of all, those that come at 6, at 12, at 6:30 on Wednesday, or after church, we pray here. No one ever makes, whoever comes, they have to pray. They don't have to pray. Just be there. Your presence, you're praying, whether your mouth opens or not. Secondly, I know from my wife that you go, I'm not going to pray, that I'll stutter, I'll say wrong words, I don't pray like he prays. You know what I say to that? I'll tell you what I say. He, Satan, endeavors to terrify us with the thought that our case is hopeless and that the stain of our defilement can never be washed away. He hopes so to destroy our faith that we will yield fully to his temptations and turn from our allegiance to God. Christ Object Lesson 168. I want you to put that in your head. In fact, I want you to write the quote and look it up. Because I have to shorten it in order not to belabor it. But get this one. Let all who are afflicted or unjustly used cry to God. Never is one repulsed who comes to Him with a contrite heart. Not one sincere prayer is lost. And now this is majestic. Look what it says. Amid the anthems of the celestial choir. Joel, wouldn't you like to sing in the celestial choir? You know, I was going to put a picture of the Mormon Tabernacle Choir up there. Why? It's massive. It's massive. Can you imagine how loud it would be in the auditorium? In the midst of the anthems of the celestial choir in heaven, God hears the cry of the weakest human being. And let me add, weak in that time reflects the idea of even sinful human being. There is no danger that God will neglect the prayers of His people. The danger is in the temptations and trials. They will become discouraged and fail to persevere in prayer. Now, inspiration tells us in the last days, this will be the temptation. And that God gave this parable especially to us so we could begin to practice now. Well, I want to tell you something that I find very neat and I hope it inspires you. Because the North American division, through a spokesperson, a prayer spokesperson, many of you know Ruthie Jacobson. The whole North American division knows that the Paradise Seventh-day Adventist Church fasts on Wednesday and goes up in the mountain and prays over the valley. When we're on the phone in these prayer sessions, the people are just awed. And I'm like, wow, I mean, I didn't know it had that kind of influence or impact. Well, January 1st, under Ruthie's supervision by the Spirit of God moving on her heart, she began to call a group of pastors, administrators, church members, coordinators, men and women. And every day at 8 o'clock in the morning for 1 hour, we're praying on the phone. And long about 2 weeks ago, Ruthie said, you know what? She said, the Paradise Church fasts on Wednesdays. Why don't we include that in our prayer time on Wednesdays? So now every Wednesday, this group of prayer, dynamic Seventh-day Adventist Christian people, now they join us. And Ruthie said, let's join the Paradise Church in fasting. So folks, here is just another indication how things are happening when we pray that we knew nothing about. So let's pull together and pray. Let's not get tired of prayer. Let's pray with one another. Let's pray with strangers. A visitor comes to this church and you know they're a visitor. Can I pray with you before you leave? So that we can help, first of all, we're practicing. Secondly, they're learning that prayer is important day and night. Oh, Father, I want to thank you for the challenge of the hour. And for each person who's here today, for it isn't an accident, it isn't a coincidence, it's providential. Help us to be prayer warriors, Lord, because it grows our faith, draws us closer to you, and helps us to love one another, even when under attack. We need that. So blessed. Don't let anybody leave today without making a decision, Lord. And you tell them what it is. Because I don't know, but you know. And Lord, include me in that prayer. If there's something I need to deal with in my own life, I want you to trumpet it from the mountaintop. And then give me the Spirit so I can do it. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and contingent financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.